Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or on the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
One, two, three. And welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here in Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment, and that's what we're going to do. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about the first part of the show, a little bit about social isolation here. That's what we've been experiencing with the COVID. And some interesting research coming out of Germany on that. And we do have a quack report and some great stuff to talk about. But before we get to all that, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. And I'm minding the time because it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in Isaiah 42. And I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images, right? And then in Psalms 104, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's right. That's what we have a lack of in our country right now, is we're not praising the Lord and giving him all the credit every day, all the time. Because when he gets mad at a nation, he forgets your children. That's not good. So mind the time. It grows short, and he is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so here in the quack report, coronavirus, of course, cases are still being reported, and people are even dying despite being fully vaccinated. It's kind of an interesting thing. When the fully vaccinated against the COVID disease are still testing positive for it and then are dying from it. Washington State had at least 102 cases that have been reported, including two deaths, according to their Department of Health. Let's see, this is Washington State. Over 100 fully vaccinated people in the state have contracted COVID. Now, the State Health Department there attempted to kind of downplay these breakthrough cases. The people that passed away claiming they were in people of 80 years of age or older suffering from other underlying health concerns. And I think we've talked about that here on the show, that that's how they would kind of explain it away. All right, moving along in the quack report. Last but not least, Frank, former Pfizer VP says your government's lying to you all the way and it could lead to your death. This is a Dr. Michael Yeadon, Pfizer former vice president and chief scientist for their allergy and respiratory division. He spent 32 years in the industry leading, you know, the new medicine research. He returned from the he retired from the pharmaceutical giant with, you know, accolades, basically. Now, he was addressing some people recently, and he said that we're getting a lot of propaganda, and what is being demonstrated to you as science is absolutely false, he says. It is a fat-out lie what they're telling you about COVID, according to him, and it's all the dangerous variants. He says it's not true. He said this is a totalitarian potential that your vaccine passports can run roughshod over you. And he's through conspiracy terms out there as well. The pharmaceutical companies have already begun to develop, he said, top-up booster vaccines for these supposed variants. And he says the companies are planning to manufacture billions of these vials in addition to your COVID experimental vaccine. So regulatory agents like the FDA and the European Medicine Agency have announced that since the top-up vaccines will be similar to the prior injections of COVID, they've already given them emergency approval and authorization for those. So the drug companies will not be required to perform any clinical safety studies on them. So remember, these are the top-up variant shots that you need to watch out for too. He said, but in the last year, he says he has realized that the governments and their advisors are lying to the faces of not only the British people and Americans, but the entire world. Absolutely everything they're telling you is wrong. They're falsifying data. They're saying the idea of asymptomatic transmission, that you don't have to have symptoms and be a carrier and infect people. He says the idea of this and lockdowns and masks for protective value obviously are not scientific and they don't work. So everything he said, I have said, every single one of these things that I have demonstrated to you as completely false, but our entire national policy is based on all of this being broadly correct, but they are absolutely all wrong. Well, like we already knew that, right, Frank? Hopefully people start waking up, because what was it, which state had 36%, I think, of their population already vaccinated, but they're having an uptick in cases. Well, like we kind of said that would happen. And that wraps the Quack Report. Oh, thank you, Frank. All righty. Well, we're going to be talking about some interesting science coming out of Germany. I kind of stumbled across this, and it was just the parallels were kind of interesting. Now, the German researchers at Johannes Gutenberg University in Mainz observed what happens to the average ant when they are in expected, you know, when they're put into isolation. So that's interesting. When ants are put into isolation, what can happen to the ant? Well, based on the research, humans may have a lot in common with a tiny ant. Ants have the social structure similar to humans have a social structure. So a few ants, they isolated from their group or colony, and the team found some very surprising results. So let's look at what the social insect group found. Well, the German scientists offered some very interesting details on how the isolated ants behaved. There seemed to be alterations in their behavior, such as in their hygiene, how their immune system functioned, their stress gene activity, and their brain activity. So it kind of similar to what happens to humans when they get isolated, actually. So they take less care of their appearance. Their immune system and their brain function show signs of depression or suppression. And the research done this did get published in the Journal of Molecule Ecology in April 2021. So isolation is stressful, and the ants are expressing this. So the ant research highlights how stressful isolation is even on humans. It offers a very real and negative impact on overall well-being. So loneliness is one of the signs and depressants that the body experiences when they're isolated. So if you recall the movie, what was it, Castaway, Tom Hanks, I think, was in it. It highlighted for us the dramatic psychological changes the actor exhibited in the movie that was based on human studies. So you can see he started talking to, what was it, a soccer ball, called it Friday, you know. So here is a quote from Ian Schaff, a professor of research group at the Tel Aviv University in Israel. He says that isolated people become lonely, depressed, and anxious. They tend to develop addictions more easily, and they suffer from weakened immune systems as well as impaired overall health. Yeah, so, and the ants do too. You know, the smallest ant kind of really has a connection to us humans. Well, let's look at these social insects, because ants are known as social insects, and they spend their entire life in the same colony, and they're very dependent on their colony mates. So humans are likewise born into a human community, and they keep in contact with the family in that community in various ways throughout their lives. And humans, like ants, rely on each other within the group or family and friends, whatever your social circle is, as they say. Well, let's look more closely at what they said in the study, because I find it fascinating. The scientists took ants that displayed various jobs within the colony, and some were isolated for as little as an hour, and some were isolated for as much as 28 days. So after isolation, the ants' behaviors were changed from their original behavior carrying out their jobs in the colony, their tasks. So, for instance, the worker ants, after they returned to their colony, seemed not as interested in their adult mates, you know. They also spent less time grooming themselves, which puts them at a higher risk of getting parasites. Also, they preferred to spend more time in contact with the younger ants called the brood. Isn't that interesting? So checking the genes of these isolated ants, they found that their immune system and their stress responses were downregulated or suppressed. So the researchers are stressed that this makes their immune system and their appropriate response to stress less active. So their immune system is less active, and then how they respond to stress is off. It's just not as good as it was. According to Professor Susan Faulks, Johannes Gutenberg University, she says, our study shows that ants are as affected by isolation as social mammals, and also suggest a general link between social well-being, stress, tolerance, and immune competence and social animals. So the immune system takes a hit, and it does the same thing in humans. So if we want to say, in other words, isolation of God's creation weakens, reduces strength, impairs the immune system, makes us less tolerant, and negatively impacts our cognitive functions. So in humans, it creates a lot of oxidized stress and disrupts our hormones, negatively affects our blood pressure, our digestion, and our mental well-being. So negative emotional stress is kind of hitting everybody, not just in America, but those all over the world. So the emotional stress levels for almost all Americans are kind of off the charts. Emotional stress is the result of being afraid, having strong emotions like anger, hate, tension, grief, frustration, panic, and anxiety. So you can see how they're, you know, divide and conquer with the masses is what's going on. So the reason Americans are complaining of not just one of these emotional stressors, they're also complaining of experiencing several of these stressful symptoms all at one time. Some of the stressors that they're experiencing make them feel overwhelmed, and they can't adequately even describe what they're feeling. And that is when, you know, it's off the charts. It's a mind-numbing occurrence when you get high stress. It's almost like you get brain freeze. You can't really articulate. You can't think straight. And Frank, you know, during this pandemic here, people are turning to pets, you know, for comfort, companionship even. And so it's really challenging now to even adopt a pet because there's such demand. And then we have to look at some things that could magnify our stresses while we're dealing with a pandemic like this. So it can be particularly difficult when your physical and emotional stress overlap. So in cases of physical change, such as maybe you're going through adolescence, or maybe you're in the middle of a pregnancy, or maybe you're in the middle of, you know, age-related stress that impacts our bodies as we get older, this all gets magnified under a pandemic and isolation order. So the body is experiencing a physical metabolism change, and it is either increased or lowered due to stress and oxidized stress. Therefore, changing physical functions can really impact an individual's outlook on a pandemic even. And what did you say, Frank? I have always turned to my pets for comfort. Yeah, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. Well, they're a good distraction too. You know, they play, they're amusing, they're sweet, they're affectionate, you know, they're cuddly. Sometimes your pets don't want to snuggle. Some of them just don't care for that, you know. I had a lab that wasn't a big snuggler. You can give him a hug and that was it, you know, I'm done. So let's look at some stress symptoms to see if you fall into this category. There was this APA survey where women were reporting higher stress levels in their category over their male counterparts, and women reported that they felt more stress-related physical and emotional symptoms of things like fatigue, irritability, anger, and insomnia, compared to just simply a year ago before the pandemic occurred. Other symptoms from stress can develop are things like high blood pressure, neck and backache, dizziness, diarrhea, crying, lack of concentration, sexual dysfunction, loss of appetite, or overeating even, and frequent illnesses where your immune system is suppressed and you're picking up stuff. Stress, either physical or emotional, will produce a metabolic response. Okay, so when you isolate ants, creates a metabolic response because it's a physical stressor. Same thing happens to humans. So our adrenal hormones are then also engaged in our blood system. And, you know, because the adrenal glands, you know, heighten your, you know, stress factors. You know, you're under stress, you're on high alert. That's, you know, a real danger when you're under anxiety and stress. That's either considered in the yellow or red category of stress. If it's consistent for too long, it's not healthy for anybody, and it does impact their mental cognitive abilities. So you don't want stressors to really impact you in that way. We're going to talk about some nutrient help in a minute. A lot of times there's not a significant physical outlet to resolve our stress overloads. So what happens is the body will tend to channel that response inward, which will, again, adversely affect our organs, our digestion, our circulatory and nervous system. We end up with things like ulcers, hypertension, backaches, arteriosclerosis, allergies, asthma, insomnia, and a lot of anxiety, just to name a few things. So long-term stress will make the body break down. So we don't want to do that. So we have to be smarter about this, especially under lockdowns and the stuff that we're all going through. Let's look at the nutrients for a second, because stress will use up many of your body's nutritional stores. So a change in your lifestyle and the use of supplements may be just what you need to replenish these nutrients and help you cope with stress a lot better. Some of the nutrients that are really going to be depleted right away under this kind of situation will be calcium, phosphorus, potassium, protein, vitamin B, and vitamin C. So eating refined foods like junk foods and stuff will create an impact. It'll impact the stress. It's not going to help the body. So dairy foods will also create allergen or hyperactive allergen responses, so watch the dairy. Caffeine will trigger more anxiety and panic attacks, so maybe avoid that. And alcohol can also cause panic attacks and anxiety 12 hours after you consumed the alcohol. So it's going to really just magnify the problem, not help it. So we have to keep it together. We do. We have to, you know, stay close to the Lord and pray. He'll give you a sound mind. He'll help you cope with these things. He'll take your hand and help you. He'll guide your feet along your path so you don't faint or slip. You know, he promises to be with you every step of the way. He won't abandon you, you know. He'll say, I'll be with you always, always. So we live in difficult times, and coping with all these changes, very stressful. So make sure your body has really good nutrient supplies. Make sure it's getting the minerals and the vitamins that you'll find in whole foods. I'm not a big proponent of isolated mega doses of stuff, you know, in your vitamin stores. I'm not really keen on that because your labs are isolating nutrients. But nutrients don't work that way in the body. They have to have, you know, just like the ants need their colony mates and we need our family and friends, your vitamins and minerals need, you know, counter-regulatory uptake minerals and things, so they work properly in the body. So when you isolate them, you kind of get rid of all that. So food chemistry is different than the supplement world of isolated nutrients. Think about it. And so I like to use whole foods for things. So if you're interested in kind of an overall vitamin, mineral, plant-based amino acid protein mix than it would be the body food mix that the folks at Apothecary Herbs make. They make that stuff all the time. It sells out so quick. ThePowerHerbs.com, if you want to check it out online, and that item will be under their energy booster tab. Yeah, if you want some energy, that would be it. Helps you deal with stress. It's a wonderful thing. People will notice the difference right away. If you're depleted in nutrients and you take this stuff, you're going to notice it right away. Because when it's water-soluble in a beverage or a smoothie, it doesn't need digestion. It goes right into the system and absorbed right away. So thepowerherbs.com is the web address. You want to give them a call. You can order over the phone, get a free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Ask for the catalog. Get that. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972. And you'll also find on their website, they have a whole section on depression, anxiety, panic attacks. There's some other herb formulas there. If you need a little help in bridging that gap, you can definitely tap into that as well. But you really need some whole food organic vitamin Bs to support your nervous system under stress. And you're gonna find that in the Power Herbs products, in the Body Foundation food mix. Amazing stuff. And it's all organic. And your body's going to notice, hey, you did the right thing. And you'll notice it right away. ThePowerHerbs.com. Sign up for their online newsletters. A lot of people say, well, where can I get this information? Blah, blah, blah. I need to know more. Well, the newsletters is a good place to start because it'll go to your email each week. It's completely free. And you'll be empowered. Knowledge is power. So if you were looking for that kind of healthy knowledge, then that's where you sign up for. Under the Books and Newsletters tab at thepowerherbs.com. Just sign up and they'll be going out to your news email right away. I can see by the clock we're going to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to cover some things on, maybe things for your liver, what medicine is doing lately to instill trust or not. Yeah, we got lots to talk about on the other side of this break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or on the web at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
All right, Frank. We're back. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the public trust and putting their whole life in the healthcare hands. So, you know, I guess more people are kind of being awakened by what's going on, but there's still a lot of people that think healthcare can do no wrong. So there have been some articles where physicians are kind of trying to determine why patients, hey, do not trust them like they did a generation or two ago. Well, this wound up in an article in February 2015 issue of the Physicians Weekly. And attempt to make politics the scapegoat for a lack of trust, but is it really all about the government healthcare and politics? Why would scientific medicine want to track prescription compliance through their technology? Well, no, they're in bed with the government and what's going on in changing the landscape of how we live. So why do physicians threaten to discontinue seeing patients and withholding care who don't comply with their drug therapy choices? Well, and why are there a growing number of physicians, you know, restructuring their practices in order to eliminate government health care and medical insurance as a form of payment? So kind of going back in time to the old-fashioned way. So government interference could be the straw that's going to break the health care back here. And a system based on punishment and rewards instead of actual wellness creates ethical conflict. So the frustrating debacle is why patients and doctors are looking for alternatives here. We're going to take a look and check it out. Barack Obama said this, doctors have financial incentive to do more surgeries. While the MDs rationalize, they certainly do. According to the Physicians Weekly, the public is losing trust in the medical doctors because of the following reasons. The system is driven by profit. there is no personal bond between patient and doctors anymore. Doctors don't listen to patient concerns because they don't care or don't have time. And with the virtual visit nonsense, you don't even have a face-to-face exchange anymore. Everything is so distant and isolated. So patients are not particularly honest with their physicians, and physicians say this will impact the quality of care. Third parties are making a lot of medical decisions regarding patient plans, treatment plans. Your TV commercials have patients asking doctors for the wrong medications, and the Affordable Care Act did create documented mandates, new computer hardware systems, tracking systems for compliance, which was burdensome and restrictive. A lot of time spent on that took time away from patients. So, but you know, I think they want to resurrect all that. You know, that I know it was tamped back with the Trump administration, but I think they want to, you know, pump new life into all that. So patients feel doctors are more concerned about mandate penalties and other things, digital healthcare records and this and that, than they are their own, you know, patient self. So doctors have to see more patients per day to make ends meet, they're saying, to help with the insurance costs and things like that. Negative media reports of corruption and greed also in the healthcare industry aren't helping any. And there's this ethnic difference possibility. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health, a survey in 2007 showed that lower socioeconomic status, defined as lower income, lower education, and no health insurance, tend to be associated with higher levels of physician distrust in the United States. So their research also suggested that men distrust doctors more than women do. I would agree with that. As I worked in healthcare, I would agree with that a lot. Men don't like to go to the doctor, Frank. You know, and they'll go if the wife nags them enough. You know, or if they're in real pain. That's it. International survey. According to the international survey, Americans are the least trusting of the medical profession worldwide. The survey published the findings in 2014 in the New England Journal of Medicine. They reported that Americans are suspicious of their doctors. Their findings were based on a global survey done between 2011 and 2013, and it involved 29 countries. The results showed that 58% of Americans say they trust their doctors, while 42% say they do not. The U.S. was kind of tied with Croatia on the trust level of the medical profession. So here's a quote. This is Michael Gusmano. He's at Hastings Center, New York Research Institute. He says, skepticism of the medical profession hasn't happened without any reason. Experts point to the commercialization of the American medical business. Commercialization of the American medicine as the key, he says, to damaging the relationship between doctor and patient. He goes on to say also decades of data on the American public's trust in these institutions in general has declined. Yeah, trust in the government, trust in medicine, on the downward slope there. Now, of course, the influence of pharmaceutical companies on your doctors with their monetary rewards for pushing their product is also kind of factored in, making Americans very weary overall. My neighbor is a well-paid pharmaceutical drug rep, pushes a lot of respiratory drugs, and she travels to Italy twice a year. And according to the CDC study in August 2014, hospitals that have a strong connection with the manufacturers of baby formula do not encourage expected mothers to actually breastfeed. Other factors, such as the constant fear mongering of epidemics, as we are in one right now, is a constant safety protocol issue, has many people weary of washing their hands, social distancing, and all that compliance. Now, another CDC poll found that 50% of Americans don't think their hospital is equipped to safely deal with pandemics. And the other area of medicine that is controversial is the more Americans are declining to get vaccinated due to safety reasons. So when you ask Americans why they state they do not trust in the scientific research on vaccines, this is one quote from Adam Wagstaff, economic researcher of the World Bank. He said, at the end of the day, it's the editorial and peer review processes in medical journals which need strengthening. Medical journals are having problems judging the quality of empirical science. Well, and physician trust of research is on the decline too. According to the Physicians for the National Health Program, the academic research in the journal articles from the pharmaceutical giants like Eli Lilly, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and others have doctors skeptical about the reported findings. So physicians are concerned about the failure to disclose important findings that can impact the final outcome of a study. There is also clearly a conflict of interest that can put patients at risk. And areas of recent concern involve medications for things like pain, depression, cardiovascular health. But what are the physicians to do when they have serious doubts about the drug tools they're offering? So physicians and patients know that the money stakes are pretty high in the drug and medical journal. It has highlighted these things. And this puts doctors and patients in the middle, and patients have to figure out where their doctor stands on these very important matters. Here's a quote from Shannon Brown Lee, Physicians for the National Health Program. She says, more than 60% of clinical studies involving human subjects were funded by pharmaceutical and biotech industries. This means that the studies published in scientific journals, which are critical references to medical professionals for medical professionals determining things like treatments, are increasingly designed and controlled and ghostwritten by the pharmaceutical marketing department rather than the academic scientists. So regardless of what the clinical trial came out with, the ghostwriters are going to spin it to make it look more favorable. And so who do you trust? So there are no relationships that can survive without trust. That's just the truth of the matter. So you don't have trust, Frank, you got nothing, right? So whatever is the case, and trust between things like friends, spouses, or even countries, trust is required to have peace and live safely and healthy. So if you don't have trust, we're in big trouble. So therefore, it is not difficult when it comes to analyzing your doctor. Either you trust your doctor and his advice, or you don't. Now, according to the National Institute of Health, trust has long been recognized as a fundamental component of the physician-to-patient relationship. So when government compliance will trump what is the best interest of the patient, the relationship with your doctor is definitely at risk. The doctor can't do anything. So patients can sense a lot of dishonesty and a lot of fraud. People sense these things. And if patients do not believe their physician is working in their best interest, well, there is going to be distrust there. If patients believe physicians are no longer in control of healthcare and are being controlled by other means, other government agencies, for example, well, then this explains the decline in trust, doesn't it? So the National Institute of Health has responded and reported on this list of reasons why patient trust has been declining over the past 40 years. Seriously, 40 years, Frank. So the American Academy of Science seemed to be a real tipping point to the trend that started back in the 70s, and here's their list. Larger medical centers focused on growing and managing care sectors for bigger profits, that kind of factored in. Disclosures of unethical medical research, which got to the ears of patients, probably part of it. The public increased accessibility to medical information. Yeah, you got the internet. People can kind of pull stuff up. easier to find answers to. Growing publicity of medical errors, malpractice, lawsuits, fraud, abuse within the system, all kind of highlighting why people are like, wait a minute, you know, let me think about this. Little research into the ethics and care-related areas of medicine also have been a big distrust factor. So doctors have part of the most trusted profession, followed by postal workers delivering your mail. So also teachers and even firemen to come respond to a fire. So if doctors are no longer taking the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, this could also send messages to people, patients, that their physician thinks that oath is outdated and not important. What? To do no harm is outdated and not important? Seriously, dude, it's important. Here's a quote from Shannon Brownlee again. She said, what are patients to do with the knowledge that much of what is passed off as science in medicine is nothing more than a medical lingo marketing scheme? Oh, did she not nail that? She says patients need to be asking a lot of questions. Now, I do agree with you, Shannon. And, you know, you start thinking about those questions. It's not hard. When you got to go to the doctor to talk about a test or something, you know, educate yourself about the test. Educate yourself about the medications they may be wanting to prescribe, because you can find that stuff online. You can type in the diagnosis and say a medical treatment, and your list will come up, and you can research them one at a time. And then when you go talk to your doctor, you can bring up these questions that you have, right? Got to be careful, because you don't want the medicine causing a more severe issue than what you already have. So there are lots of situations in America going, we're going through transitions. The healthcare sector is just one of them. We got healthcare, we got financial markets, we got political markets, we got freedom, for the, really, it's a big issue now on the table. So we have things that we need to pray about and, stand up for freedom and righteousness. We do. We just need to stand up and say no. If you disagree with it, say no. I know people want to find a workaround, and that's an option, yeah, but don't let the system take hold. I mean, if you're not going to stand up and fight now, then you're not going to be able to later. So sometimes you do find really great doctors that are ditching the government healthcare area. So if you want to be in control of your care for your patients, you're going to have to make some changes, doc. You really are. So aside from the trauma care, I think the medical establishment just, you know, pumps out drug therapy and surgery options. They really don't cure anything. So these are very toxic and invasive treatments. You know, trauma care is one thing. If you're in an accident and you're hemorrhaging, yeah, you're going to need maybe surgery. But for other internal medicine issues, there should be other ways to reverse the disease, but they don't look at disease reversal. They look at disease management because it's more lucrative, and that's how they were taught. So you need to ask a lot of questions. You need to scrutinize all the treatments recommended to you. And for those who reject the drug therapies, there are a lot of medicinal herbs you might want to look into. So if you haven't tried potent, professional, organic herbal formulas, then you're missing out how powerful you can be with a lot of those medicinal tools God, the Creator, has given us. So I would call the folks at Apothecary Herbs because they have a free catalog, and you can learn all about those tools and the information that comes with them, so you can be successful. Because a lot of times it's about the tools and how you use them, and so you want to be informed. So the powerherbs.com is the web address. You can give them a call at 866-229-3663. Request that free catalog and be empowered. All right, we got a few minutes, so we're going to talk about the liver. I don't know how many times I've heard people call me just in the last 30 days about fatty livers, you know, not due to alcohol consumption. Yeah. Well, some of us could have a fatty liver, and we just don't know when we have it. There are 15 million Americans living in America with a lifestyle that can produce a fatty liver, and 90 to 100% of these Americans will get that fatty liver diagnosis. So modern medicine has a couple of categories for fatty liver, the non-alcohol type, and the other category associated with obesity and alcohol consumption. So there really is a third category, which science ignores, and that is liver problems caused by prescription drugs. So fatty liver is a liver that has accumulated a lot of fat cells. Medical science really does not call a liver that has some fat cells a disease, because it is very likely that there is no permanent damage in a liver, a fatty liver, no scar tissue, cirrhosis yet. But later on it could produce that. So science is not precisely sure how the liver gets kind of bogged down with fat cells. It could be a digestive or metabolic problem, as well as maybe your diet. So you officially have a fatty liver if the weight of the liver increases by 5 to 10%, and a healthy adult liver weighs about 3 pounds, but a fatty liver will weigh 4 to 5 pounds. So this is why medical examiners tend to weigh vital organs during an autopsy to help them determine cause of death. So if the liver gets real fatty, it shows the it slows down the normal function of the organ, and a lot of inflammation can result, and you can even get hepatitis. So if the condition isn't reversed, you can get fibrosis or cirrhosis of the liver, causing scar tissue, and that can happen within 10 to 15 years. So about 20 to 40% of individuals who are overweight run the risk of having fatty livers. And your medical treatments will, you know, include drug therapy and surgeries, things like that, CT scans, see how large the liver is and so forth. I'm running out of time, but I wanted to get to the drug culprits that can lead to fatty livers. There are a group of prescription drugs that can make the liver ill and cause it to become fatty. Here's the list. It's not inclusive, but here it is. Aspirin, the drug called amonidone, which is a drug for heart arrhythmias, calcium channel blockers used, for, you know, cardiovascular issues. A drug like diltiazem is also on that list. Anti-inflammatory medications, especially ones with cortisone and prednisone and corticosteroids, can cause fatty livers. Your cancer drugs, as well as your estrogen drugs, your anti-epileptic medications, your tetracycline, and your carbon tetrachloride, which is a cleaning agent and a refrigerant if you breathe it in. So if you're around any of that, that can cause fatty livers. Also, if you get drug combinations in together, if you mix a bunch of prescription drugs, you're very likely to get a fatty liver diagnosis. So doctors and pharmacists really don't know what happens to your metabolically after you take the second medication, because the first medication already created 100 different metabolic changes. So if you add another drug, that's 100 times 100 metabolic changes, and they just don't know what those changes are going to be. You risk hurting the liver when you take on a prescription and additional prescription. So to be more specific on deadly liver combos, you should avoid using things like antibiotics, HIV drugs, and anti-cholesterol medications in combinations together. So let's look at some of the symptoms. If you think you have a fatty liver, some of the signals your liver will tell you is you may get a dull or nagging pain in the abdomen area. You may feel weak or nauseated. You may have some bloating and even flatulence or gas. You may have high cholesterol and high blood pressure. You may have weight gain and a yellow pigment to your skin. And many of these symptoms develop slowly and are often pretty much ignored by individuals. They just kind of say, oh, it's probably something I ate. Well, according to the health authorities, approximately 50% of Canadians are overweight. 75% of them have fatty livers. Wow. It's all about lifestyle there. Fatty livers are up 23% in Canada. Correlates with obesity rates there. Also, can't neglect nursing homes. There seems to be several ways to make a fatty liver fattier. We mentioned, malnutrition a little bit ago. And the elderly tend to not eat so healthy. They just lose their appetite and they don't want to eat. They just want tea and toast or whatever it is they want. So on the flip side of this, the elderly in nursing homes may be given what is called peritoneal nutrition or intravenously given nutrition, and any long-term use of that can produce a fatty liver. Most people don't know that. And here's the thing. Your liver has a lot of jobs to do for the body. It filters the blood. It removes toxic substances from the blood. It stores vitamins. It synthesizes your cholesterol. It metabolizes the storing of your sugar, assembles amino acids into proteins, controls blood fluidity and regulating blood clots. It removes excess protein through the kidneys, and it burns fat and helps mix bile for the digestive system so you can metabolize fat in a healthy way and convert amino acids to proteins and all that good stuff. So when the liver's healthy, it's not hard to lose weight, for instance. If the liver is fatty, the process is reversed and the liver stores the fat and you gain more weight. So other symptoms tend to follow. You may develop that high cholesterol and the high blood pressure issue, obesity, and maybe even diabetes. So hepatitis and cirrhosis are just a stone's throw away if that's happening. Other complications could arise, such as inflamed gallbladder, appendicitis, and even pancreatitis. So if you are drinking alcohol, if you're considered an alcoholic, you can count on these types of complications and the likelihood of surgery and possibly risking death during surgery. So be aware of that. So what do we do for livers? Well, we want to, A, clean up the lifestyle. We want to watch what we're putting in the body because it matters. And I like to use milk thistle because of its antioxidant type action to help the liver regenerate and heal itself. So milk thistle is definitely what I would be using. If your gallbladder needs a little help because your liver and gallbladder kind of work together, I would use barberry bark for the gallbladder. Helps disinfect the gallbladder. And if you need to remove stones that are not too large, you may want an ultrasound to confirm that if you got stones. There is a way to flush those out. And the folks at Apothecaribs will teach you all those great things and provide you tools to use. So give them a call at 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address. And definitely sign up for their newsletters and get a free catalog. 866-229-3663, ThePowerHerbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.